Awaken Your Alpha, episode number 3. Let's do it.
For millions of years, we evolved from apes into man. But in less than 100 years, we have devolved to become an even more primitive, lazy primate. Many are still capable, but survive in an unchallenging environment. Within this comfy habitat, unfortunately, the majority have forgotten how to go out there and grab life by the balls. Which brings us to this point in evolution. Your expedition leader on this journey is my good friend, Adam Lewis Walker, whose mission is to discover those people who have managed to awaken their alpha, leading a life without limits. Together, we will study these specimens and search for clues as to how. It is time for me to pass you over to your guide, Adam, who will take you safely through the next 30 minutes. I must, however, warn you, he is not like me. We both speak English. Him, just not so well. He tends to say quality far too much. He becomes easily excited and must be exercised regularly. For some reason, he still loves Schwarzenegger movies. And even though most accuse him of being vertically challenged, he still believes that he is the white Michael Jordan of his time. Anyway, apologies. Here he is.
Thanks, Dave, for that awesome intro. You're a legend, mate. And today we have John Blake from Perth. So it's time to live limitless. Let's go. Enjoy. He's the man in sales, been in sales for over 22 years. And if you want to talk about the power of position control, which I think we're going to touch on today, he's the man. And I know him through a mastermind group. It's time. Are you ready to awaken the alpha? And it's over to you, John. If you can just give us a brief introduction, sort of adding to what I just said, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, no drama. No drama, Adam. So, I've been in sales now for just under 25 years. So
On your website. It needs to be updated. Yeah. It's 22.
yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. So it's somewhere in between 22 and 25. You know what it's like. You get to a stage where you stop counting. Yeah. But
it did say over 22, so you're all good.
yeah, all good. So in that time, I've been a sales manager. I've had my own sales-based business. I've worked for another company as a salesperson. So I've done a whole bunch of sales roles. And then about 10 years ago, I decided to set up a business helping other salespeople to learn some of the things that I'd learned the hard way just through making hundreds and hundreds of mistakes. So for the last 10 years, I've been helping salespeople to really fast track that knowledge and learn those lessons and add some speed to their success. Because, you know, there's two types of salespeople. There's the salespeople who have essentially learned to do it intuitively through making hundreds and hundreds of mistakes. And then there's those that have had other people that they can learn from that can fast track their success and their results. And that's what I really love to do for people. You know, it's like if I can fast track those results for people, then that's essentially, you know, what gets me up in the morning and what it is that I think I was put on this earth to do, really.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear that, but yeah, it just started raining, and where I was the rain was very noisy, so I'm just moving. But that's about right for England.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens, I guess, this time of the year in England.
Definitely. Is there a sort of a quote that you like to live by, or a quote that you sort of resonates for you and think is a good one and well worth putting out there?
Mate, there is. I did see that, and there is, and it's really simple, and it's two words. It's back yourself.
Like it. Quality.
Because the more you back yourself, The more you back, I mean, like boldness begets boldness. You know, the more you back yourself, the more you're prepared to back yourself. And the bolder you are, the bolder you're prepared to be. And no one's going to back you. So at the end of the day, the only person that you can really rely upon to back you is you.
I like it. As I say, I mentioned it before in some of these shows, I like the short quotes, and that is the shortest so far. You're leading on that.
Nice. That's
awesome. Okay, you mentioned about your obviously your background in business and sales. I mean, what's your sort of your origin, your story, Maud, going a little bit back? Is there, have you got a brief sort of how you came to get into sales?
The one for me that was the most significant was a particular stage of when I first started in the consulting business, in the training business. I had a business partner, and he was from the traditional national speakers type consultant origin. So it's like you get booked by a speaking bureau, you rock up to somebody's conference, and you've got 50 salespeople to talk to at 1 o'clock on the third day of the conference to a room full of salespeople with a screaming hangover after a massive barbecue lunch and their blood sugar levels in their underpants, and you're somehow expected to, after a 1 hour presentation, turn them into masterful salespeople. and so
no trouble. There we go.
and so, you know, from that perspective, the context that you were making that presentation in was that somehow that presentation would tick that box and that job would be done. What that meant is that you were kind of really only set up to do one gig with, like, you know, a lame chance of some sort of follow-up. And I remember sitting in the Virgin terminal of the Sydney airport, and there was this massive lightning storm going on out in front of the actual lounge, the departure lounge. And the flight was delayed. It was like a Friday night. I was headed back to Perth. It was like a 4.5 hour flight back to Perth. I was spending a whole bunch of time on aeroplanes, and I was sitting there with the list of clients that we dealt with in that year. And there was about, between the two of us, myself and my ex-business partner now, because I'm out on my own, there was about 75 clients that we dealt with. And I selected the bottom half. I sort of had them ranked from the highest one up the top and, you know, all the way to the lowest one at the bottom. And I selected the bottom half and I deleted them, just, you know, cleared, just to see what...
That must have felt good.
Yeah. Well, just to see what it would do to the bottom line, you know, just see what difference that would make to the actual turnover number. And guess what number? Guess what difference it made?
Like 10% or something like that.
11%.
Oh!
11%. Oh. And so
I bet you did it for real then, pretty much after that.
Well, that's exactly what happened. You know, I sort of looked at it and went, holy crap. You know, like we could have dealt with half the clients.
Oh, man, that's so simple, but that is so good.
Yeah, like done half the work. And really, we would have ended up doing more business because we would have been able to focus and look after that top 50% so much better.
You'd probably attract more like-minded clients as well, just focusing on the top ones. Oh.
Exactly. So from there, we sort of made this really, you know, within days, sat down and just sort of went, well, okay, how do we go after better clients? How do we go after a better pedigree of client? How do we position ourselves to that niche in a way that they see us as being a valuable source of information absolute authority on what it is that we're doing prior to us getting in contact with them? And we simply went ahead and did that. And so I have operated my business under that premise ever since. And it really did just transform. We went out, I think our average transaction size went from like $7,000 per client up to about $50,000 per client within 60 to 90 days, you know.
Nice.
And essentially there was three things we did. You know, we sort of positioned ourselves a lot better with our ideal clients. We're very deliberate about the type of profile of the client that we wanted. We had two or three high value packages that we were offering rather than just days of training. and we were able to essentially, you know, bundle those into high value to the client, but also high fee for us. And then obviously the sales process to uncover that upside with that client along the way, so that they see your support package as being a no-brainer compared to the, you know, the upside that exists for their particular business. So that, in a nutshell, was a massive shift, you know, in that particular period, and it's just been transformational for us and for people that I now work with to help to do the same thing.
Well, I was going to say that I was going to ask you the sort of the awakened question,
yeah.
And you kind of covered it there for your business. I mean, that sounds like a massive breakthrough. But when did it? You said like 10 years ago, you actually went out on your own into your own business.
No, three years ago.
3 years ago. I mean, sorry. I think you said 10 years ago. Is that when you went from sort of working in a company and went out with a business partner?
Yeah, I was just thinking
what was like the awakening that made
what
you
changed there?
What made you, I'm sure you was aware of it, what made you give you the kick up the ass to actually, you know, take the jump?
Well, I mean that's also a very important shift.
Yeah.
And really the short answer to that is that I was in an industry that I could see was heading down a particular path that wasn't going to take it to a very good place, it was like, you know, it had been a fantastic. It was essentially I was a surf wholesaler, so I was selling Mambo,
yeah.
I was selling Van shoes, and as an agent, you know, you get a commission, and it had been a great business for me for 10 years. I'd had that business for 10 years, but what I could see was that there was going to become this big squeeze. You know, the surf industry had been on this big boom, and it was just about to plateau. And there was a whole bunch of people that was sort of hanging in there and hoping things were going to change. But I could just see the writing on the wall, and I could see that the surf rep or the surf agent was going to become an endangered species, and that it was going to become a real difficult business to run. And then I actually ended up engaging a coach to transition me from one business to the other. And that took some real courage, because it was a real comfort zone for me.
Definitely. You've got to get a mentor, definitely. That really helps push you, I think.
Yeah, and he sort of coached me on over, you know, through sort of 3 to 4 months, this sort of transition of getting out of one and into the other. And it was a bold move, and you know, I had a lot at stake. I had a mortgage and a wife and all those things that can tend to hold you back when you're looking at moving in a new direction. But I'm so glad I did, because it's just been the best move, and that was a pretty big transition as well.
Okay, cool. Right, we're gonna hit you up now. We're gonna slightly change the pace now. This is the yin yang round. So I'm going to give you some 50-50 options, and as much as you can, you've got to just go with your gut, and even if you don't like both of them, you've got to make a decision.
Okay, cool. Okay. Perfect.
Water ski or snow ski?
Snow ski.
P90X or Insanity?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So you're definitely in the sales, not the fitness. There are two types of training programs. So I'm going to go with, okay, I'll go with workout in a gym or outside?
Outside.
Yeah. Well, you are in Australia, so that if you was in England, you'd probably say inside.
Yeah, I'd say so, okay. Yeah.
Beer or wine?
Beer.
Home cooked or dinner out?
Dinner out.
San Fran or New York?
New York, because I've never been to San Fran.
You need to go. It's nice. Right. Perth or Sydney?
Perth.
London or Paris?
London.
Good man. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you fill in the blank here, if I ever visit Perth, I should?
Go surfing.
Nice. I've been to Perth, actually. I think, what's the island that's just off Perth that's very touristy?
Rotnest.
I
swam to Rotnest about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that place is beautiful. It's so nice.
It's 20, yeah. 20 kilometers. I was in a team. So it's like a, it's a,
yeah, that's a, I think a fair
it's
way.
Like one of the, it's one of the biggest open ocean water swimming competitions in the world. There's like thousands of people that do it.
Jeez, that is awesome. We,
yeah, we did it in 5 hours and 26 minutes.
Blimey. Well, I swam on Rottnest Island or on the, but the thing I always remember about there is I did, it's the coolest thing ever. I did an underwater, like, not safari or, but literally there was like a, under the water in this where you're snorkeling, there's literally yet to swim down, see a little marker, and it had a little explained what was around there and go set like an arrow sending you on to the next direction. She did a little route underwater. Brilliant.
Awesome.
It's really
awesome.
Anyway, slightly off the point. So also this is you touched on this before. This is our Yoda question. So who helped awaken your alpha? You mentioned you got a coach for the transition, but I suppose by that stage you'd already made the decision. I wondered if there's anyone who had an influence, or it's up to you really, who helped you sort of get to this level you're at now?
It might sound weird, but it was a particular set of circumstances that I think has been a big transformation for me, and it was essentially a culmination of a whole bunch of things that all just sort of happened at once. My wife actually passed away 3 years ago.
And at the time
she left me with a 5-month-old son and a 3.5-year-old daughter. I also moved house, finished up with my business partner, and launched a new business, all within a 14-week period. And it was just it was one of those transition.
Blimey.
Oh mate, it was massive, and it was one of those.
You feel around then? Obviously, that must have just been, that must have just been absolute carnage.
I literally felt like every day I was pulling on the armor, grabbing the sword, and going out and just battling. You know what I mean?
And that
was literally what I felt like. It was like every day I was going out to war and just, you know, battling all this stuff that was just going on. Yeah. So you know, if I could share anything that really essentially forced me to become strong, it was that period of my life. You know, I really feel like having gone through that and come out the other end, I am, you know, if that, you know what they say, if, you know, that doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I mean,
if I can come in and pop out the other end of that.
Blimey. Yeah, I mean,
too many things that are going to rattle.
I was going to say, anything that's chucked at you now, that seems not as bad. Oh my goodness.
Exactly. So it wasn't so much a person, it was more a set of circumstances that were basically thrown at me and forced me to kind of really step up and just, you know, deal with stuff in the most powerful way that I knew how.
I'm looking on your website as well, and I mean, you've got lots going on to do with sales, but you've talked about the power of positioning control, and you mentioned that in your own business, obviously, to get the right sort of clients. I wondered if you had some advice or some tips for that for our listeners.
Yeah, you know, I think people, especially coaches and consultants or people in service-based businesses, they often don't realize or acknowledge the actual power that they have in an advisory type role. And what I teach in essence in creating a sales process for a particular business essentially leverages what's already true, and that is that you are a master in your particular area. And in doing so, there's a certain amount of existing expertise that you're perceived as having. And so everything that I teach revolves around leveraging that perception and acting consistent with that perception. So an example of that is if you are truly a specialist in your particular area of expertise, you know, it's like when you go to see if you hurt your knee or you've got a sore back or whatever.
Definitely done the knee.
You know, I mean, you go to a back specialist or a knee specialist, and you don't walk in there and say, "Look, g'day, doc, how are you going? I think I've actually torn my medial ligament, and I'm going to need I think you're going to need to do some surgery, and I'm probably going to need, I reckon, probably about 12 weeks of rehab.
Interesting thing about that, like you say, when it comes to saying, well, personally, if it was something like that for your body, I would almost, for my knee, I would almost try and seek out the most expensive knee specialist, because yeah, exactly. I want the best guy, because it's your knee at the end of the day. You only get one. You don't want to think, that's I saved, a couple of £100. Brilliant. My knee's bugging now. Yeah.
Well, that's it. And so in that scenario, that's just not going to happen. You're not going to go in there and say that. You're going to go in there and what you're expecting is for that person to thoroughly diagnose your situation. And even if you did think that you knew what was going on and you were to say that to the specialist, he's in most cases going to turn around and say, well, actually it's not your medial ligament that you've torn, it's actually your anterior cruciate.
Yeah.
And you've also done some damage to your bursa. And so because of that, we're actually going to give you a cortisone injection. We're not even going to cut you open. And you're probably not going to need 12 weeks of rehabilitation. You're going to need 16. You know what I mean? So from a sales perspective, we often salespeople subordinate their own positioning unnecessarily to the client. And there's no need to do that, because if we set things up right, we can come across with that authority, because we know infinitely more about our area of expertise and our product or service than our client does. And we're not being arrogant, but we can certainly get better outcomes for both ourselves and, as if not more importantly, for our client, such that there is an equal exchange of energy between two people in a conversation and then in the actual business relationship that results in great outcomes for everybody. And so essentially the process that I teach is a seamless way of having a conversation with a client that results in a transaction taking place that benefits both people.
Brilliant. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So there's a number of different tools and elements to that, but essentially that's the result.
Quality. All right, you've made it to the alpha round. So here we're going to look at some of your tools that you may think will help other potential guys awaken their alpha and really sort of be productive. So I was wondering if you had some either favorite books or current books that you're reading, either on body, business, belief balance, or more likely business probably, from, because as I say, talking about specializing. Sounds like you've really got it niched down to your sort of sales. Any books?
Yeah, well, one of my favourite books is a book by a guy called John Maxwell called Failing Forward, and essentially it's a whole bunch of stories about people who just kept trying until they succeeded, and it frames the whole failure thing, and it puts it in the context of what it is, which is essentially another step forward by a different definition. And it's just full of really inspirational stories about real people that we can all identify with and identify, and what it is that it took them to become, really masterful at what they do.
What about a great book by this guy called John Blake?
Well, I've co-authored a couple of books.
Yeah.
And I've written a number of free reports. I mean, there's you can download one of my free reports off my website, and there's also some video training and a whole bunch of other free resources and things that people can jump on there. But one of the other books that I really like, and I quote it all the time, is the Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. Have you read that?
No, and I need to.
Oh, mate, it is just so good. It's so simple. The thing I love about it is that he boils these complicated emotional issues that we all just pack so much stuff around and just nails them in like one sentence. Yeah. It's just one of the best.
That's the skill, isn't it? Simplifying things. That's what,
Mate, I mean, if you talk about Yoda, I mean, the guy is just incredible.
That is quality. Right. Have you got an alpha productivity resource or something you do that helps you be very productive?
One of the big things that I do that makes a massive difference to me is to do some type of exercise before I jump on the phone and start talking to clients. Yeah. I think just preparing your head, your headspace, in a way that clears your mind, presses the the clear on the calculator of your mind every morning before you jump on the work program.
I agree. Well, I can back you on that because, I mean, this is over here, we started English time. It's 8 o'clock in the morning and I jumped out to the gym for six and I'm feeling good now, obviously, whereas I have just obviously we're trying to get people different organized around the world. I've done calls late at night my time. And it's not a good time for me. I'm thinking, you know, because obviously you're quite busy. Even if you take breaks in the day, at the end of the day, I've got a couple of young kids. And come to the late at night, I am knackered.
Oh, mate, me too. I mean, I do a couple of, because of the evenings, I've got my kids, because obviously I'm a widower. So the evenings isn't particularly good for exercise for me. So I go and do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu a couple of times a week. You know, during the day, and that's just awesome. And and then if I can squeeze a surf in before I start work, that's just perfect in terms of setting me up, because that's like my favorite thing to do.
God, you are the classic Australian, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. Awesome.
Have you got a high-tech and a low-tech resource you use?
I use Evernote, I find that that's really good. And the low-tech resource I use, and this is going to sound really weird, is I use a paper diary.
That's not weird, man. It's coming up. This is good. There's some similarities coming up, you know, from people from all different fields, and that's popping up.
I've got an iPhone, two iPads, a MacBook Pro, and a Mac Mini. In fact, I've got two MacBook Pros.
I'm just behind you on that. I'm resisting getting a Mac Mini because I'm just thinking to myself, what is the point? Because, like you say, I've got the iPhone, the iPads. Yep. And it's, but yeah, it's just cool stuff.
and I use the paper diary. So I've got... You know, I use Schedule Once, which is a scheduling software where people can log in and pick a time to talk to you. And that links up with Google Calendars, so it sends me reminders. I've had
that recommended to me before.
I use Evernote. I use a paper diary. And write a list of things to do on a piece of paper on occasion as well. So it's not particularly conventional, but it works. The thing I like about the paper diary is that wherever I am, I can just open it up and check what's going on.
Yeah, they are very handy. Well, my background's a teacher, and I use a teacher's planner because they are just basically little diaries that are just so spot on. I still use it. You mentioned before about working out. What is another one of your sort of personal alpha habits daily?
Well. Because I get woken up at 6 o'clock every morning by my son, I don't really get an abundance of time to work out in the morning, especially if I've got appointments at 9 o'clock. So I try and have some rituals. I try and meditate, and then I'll do like a workout at the back. So it might just be like that 7 minute iPhone app workout that I'll do as a warm up. And then I've got a 24-kilo kettlebell, so I'll get out there and swing that around for a while. And that, I mean, by the time I've done, you know, six sets of kettlebells and...
Oh, it doesn't take long, does it?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's enough, just enough to sweat and your whole thing and, you know, read, you know, look at your goals, do a bit of quiet time before my young bloke gets up. That's just, a perfect way to just sort of set myself up. Either that or go for a surf for the day. I just find that works really well.
If you can think back to when this was the time, but maybe when you're in a bit of a comfort zone at some stage in life, what do you think was holding you back? And what's the best advice or some of the best advice you've received?
That's a good question.
So don't keep worry smiling. About the pause.
Keep smiling. my dad says that all the time. Keep smiling.
Oh, is that I can hear? Is that some of your kids?
Yes, that is.
Okay.
Hopefully they won't invade where we are, so it's all good.
Right. Lockout. What would you say was your biggest mistake, either professionally, personally, or just up to you? What would you say was your biggest mistake?
Being too reliant on a couple of different income streams. Essentially what happened is that I had the agency for Mambo, and Mambo was starting to back off a little bit in terms of its popularity, and I was an agent. I could have taken on different brands, but I sort of hung in there with that without really looking around and diversifying. So probably not diversifying soon enough is probably the answer to that question.
We've made it now to the final wake-up question. So if you woke up tomorrow and you had to start again, so you had nothing, so you got clean slate, but you knew everything you're talking to me today, you haven't had memory loss, but you wake up tomorrow morning, got a clean slate, what would you do and why?
I would go back to, I would essentially leverage my relationships and the people that I, and my network related to.
What about if your network was gone? How would you go about it?
Start with my areas of passion and interest, and I'd build something around that. Which is, I think, what I've really done my whole life. You know, like I was a competitive surfer, and then that was what got me into the surfing industry and the action sports industry. And then I was interested in personal development and sales, and that's what sort of got me into this business. So I think if you're passionate about what you do, it's like that old saying, if you love what you do, you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Oh, definitely. Who do you think I should interview next?
Who have you got access to?
Well, it's an open question. I'm going to go, I can go for anyone. Say, as this show gets bigger, I'm going to be going for anyone. If you recommend someone, I will try and get a hold of them.
Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, that would be a good one. He'd be on the list.
I've read all of, I mean, you know, talk about books. I've read all of his books. And
I haven't read the chef one yet.
he writes really, I mean, the thing about the chef one, the chef one's about speed learning. You know, sure, it's about recipes and stuff in there, but it's about speed learning. But yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah. Right, he'd be on next week then. Maybe a little bit longer.
Perfect.
Brilliant.
Perfect. Let me know and I'll listen in.
Cool. What is the one question I should have asked you, or you wanted me to ask you, but I didn't?
Man, I think we've pretty much nailed it.
Ah, sweet. No, that's what it feels like to me, mate. It's been brilliant talking to you. How can people get hold of you or connect with you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, they can find me on Facebook. So, just look for John Blake. There's probably about 15 million other John Blakes on Facebook. But
the surfer
Yeah, the surfer dude. In fact, I think there's my background picture is a picture of me and about half a dozen other guys underwater on a trip to the Mentawai Island. So that one's pretty hard.
Oh, I think that is absolutely awesome. That's one of the best photos ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful part of the world, the Mentawai. So I've been up there heaps of times. So the site is www.john-blake.com.au.
Brilliant. And we put all of these up on the podcast website when it goes live.
Awesome.
The resources you mentioned, and I'll let you know when it's going to go live. But yeah, thanks for taking the time out of your day, and brilliant. I'll speak to you again soon.
My pleasure, Adam. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Right, we're done, John. That was quality.
Awesome. Cool. Unreal, mate. Oh, I'm stoked.
For all the show notes, resources, and much more, head over to ayalpha.com and leave us a review on iTunes. 5-star, please. And that's all we need from you at the moment. Hope to see you on the next episode.